Wome, Adelaide, Floreard, Woodford, Taste, Pete's Ridge. These are just a few of the festivals that we have in Australia throughout the year. We have days and sometimes weeks dedicated to music, food, arts, writing and dance. Australia, according to our next guest, has a strong festival culture, and he should know. Leven Bertels moved from Holland to Australia to become the director of the Sydney Festival. Prior to this, he was the artistic coordinator for the Holland Festival in Amsterdam. He spent the last year curating acts and organising events that will feature as part of this year's Sydney Festival. Leven, welcome to RN Summer Breakfast.
Good morning.
Now, you say we have a strong festival culture. Is that, do you think so? You think that's the truth?
Absolutely. And I think I can compare, having seen a few festivals around the world and having worked for some.
Yes.
But seriously, Australia has a very strong festival culture and people really embrace it, which is great.
Now, what are people looking for in a festival?
A bit of fun, some proper entertainment, a little bit of an intellectual challenge at times where people want to be tickled and learn about something.
Yeah.
And I think just having a good time with friends.
Now, your background is largely an oral one to do with sound, isn't it?
Radio, music, that's right.
Now, what drew you to the visual side of things, Leven?
Well, in part, my family comes from visual arts. My father was an arts teacher, visual arts teacher, and the whole family was in photography and visual arts.
Yes.
And in part, I think that marriage between live performance and visual arts is what a festival can do really well and what excites me as, yeah, as a member of the audience.
What does the Amsterdam Festival bring? What does it focus upon?
The Holland Festival is a very old festival. It's it started in 1947, the same year as the Edinburgh Festival. So it came to bring back the high arts after the destruction of the Second World War.
Yeah.
After that, it had a whole very hippie-flavoured, roaring 60s period. Mm-hmm. And then it sort of got into serious theatre and music making. So it's a very serious festival, if you want. At the end of a season, every season to celebrate what was perhaps missing in international programme in the season. So it's a very different offering from what Sydney Festival is.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask whether there are differences. I mean, you quite famously brought Chinese performances to Amsterdam, didn't you?
Chinese, Japanese, Korean, so a lot of Asian art, both traditional and contemporary.
Yeah.
Asia was a region and still is a region I really enjoy traveling. And one of the nice things about bringing work from Asia is that you can still, with a festival, make the difference because it's work that is very hard to program in a regular season.
Yeah.
So it's nice to bring in a festival context.
Yeah. And how was it embraced by Europe? Was it embraced by the Dutch?
It certainly was. And it's something that people look forward to in a festival, to have these little surprises.
Yes.
And to have these moments of discovery.
So what drew you to Australia, Leven?
Well, first of all, a love for this country. I had been here before, both as a member of the audience visiting festivals and just as having Australia as a holiday destination with my family.
Yeah.
In 2008, we did a long trip around the country with the whole family. And so selling the idea of maybe coming to work here wasn't a very difficult thing for my family to embrace.
Yeah.
And that's what got us here.
You weren't tempted to ride a bike around, did you? I mean, I say this, I'm just groping in the dark here a little bit, because Dutch friends I do have who visited here, the first thing they wanted to do was ride a bike around the country.
Well, that sounds suicidal to me.
Well, that's what I would have thought. And that's the counsel I give them, Leven.
I think that's very wise of you, because if I see people here riding their bikes on motorways, I think they are insane. I would never do that. Having said that, bikes are great ways of city transport and a great way to actually come to festival venues. So we do provide bike parking.
Well, that is indeed true. Now, I envy someone like you because really you can just cherry-pick the great acts of the world and bring them here. That's the job, isn't it?
That's how it sounds like, I know. If only it were that easy, because very often you want something and you don't get it. It's not like, you know, a Santa Claus wish list of artists that you want to have in January in Sydney. People need to be available. You need to be able to afford them.
Yeah.
You need to be able to accommodate the actual act. So it's not always that easy, but yes, it's a very enjoyable job.
Yeah. And so can you tease us now with the big acts that you think are going to do it this year.
Yes, there's a couple that really, I think, excel, and some of them are selling really fast, so people that still want tickets for them better hurry. But one of them I'm really proud of is Samuel A. Walk, which is an opera, but then it's not an opera. It's like this beautiful blend of fashion, opera, a little bit of punk. It's a Handel opera disguised as a fashion show with costumes by Vivienne Westwood,
yes,
which we present at the Town Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Talking of Asia, we have a number of important Asian projects that are real discoveries, including a Chinese opera, or two, I should say, The Pony Pavilion and The Jade Hairpin, two Kunchu operas, traditional Chinese operas that we will stage at the Opera House here.
Yeah.
We've got beautiful theatre from Fiji, a piece called Marcy about an unlikely marriage between an English nurse and a Fijian tribal head. And there's a couple of other really interesting world theatre and world music shows there.
Sure.
Of course, a lot of contemporary music. David Byrne is coming with his new project. We've got a new show with Frank Woodley and Simon Yates called Insight in the Spiegel Tent. And the Spiegel Tent is something I'm really, really keen on because it's coming from Belgium, just like me.
Well, it's burlesque, isn't it?
Well, it's not just burlesque. Mm. The Spiegel Tent itself is really interesting because it's this exciting venue from the 1930s. If you've never been inside, you should go just to see the tent.
Mm-hmm.
But then what you can do with it is really magical as well, because it's this really intimate performance space, 300 people in a miniature, beautiful Art Deco circus tent, if you want. And you can do burlesque in there, indeed, like we have a show called Cantina, but you can do comedy like the Frank Woodley show. You can do music in there. We've got an early music series, a late night music series. So it's a very diverse offering we have in the Spiegel Tent.
Now, obviously, you're encouraging people to come from all over Australia and indeed the world to sample the festival. Are any of these acts going to travel to other cities?
Some of them are, but a lot of them are exclusive to Sydney. So if you want to see them, you better come here. Like the beautiful circus show we have, Urban. Cirque Columbia is an exclusive. The Simon Yeats Inside Show is a world premiere. So if you want to catch it first, you better come to the Sydney Festival.
Now, I just want to, and this is entirely without notice, Levin. Your major study, of course, was composition.
That's right.
Now, what is the future of composition, if it is possible to put a question like that? The reason I ask is because it seems to be composition, formal composition, reached its high point sometime in the past. I don't know where composition is leading us.
Well, where is the future of literature, or where is the future? These are very big questions
they
for
are.
A morning breakfast.
That job. Is true.
I would say that there's an awful lot of music written every day, and there's an awful lot of music we will need in the future. And it's not just the music that we actually sit down for in a very formal situation like a concert hall.
Mm.
There's also a lot of music that we actually take in without even paying attention. Mm. And some of it is very good music, incidental music for theatre and film, music and advertising, music we hear every day in the background.
Mm.
Now, some people are very good at writing that kind of music. Other people really want to write very formal music. What I find fascinating is the new ways of discovering music we found through the internet, where in the past, if you didn't have the LP, you didn't know about it. Or if you didn't attend the actual concert, you didn't know about it. These days, we can discover all kinds of music, very niche genres of music through the internet. And things like websites where you can stream music, discover music, or even indeed post your own music. If you are a composer, such as SoundCloud, really are means to reach a new audience.
Yeah, indeed. So do you enjoy yourself trawling new styles of music?
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of it, if I can, I prefer to discover music live.
Yes.
Having said that, the internet is a great way to discover music. The real way of engaging with music is live, because that's where people come together as an audience.
Yeah.
And that sort of social interaction is what makes live performance and festivals indeed special.
Yeah. Have you listened much to Indigenous Australian music?
I have, and I've really enjoyed it. It was a steep learning curve for me, because suddenly I had this real reason to engage with it.
Yeah.
What was of great help was actually reaching out to communities and meeting a lot of the communities, urban communities here in Sydney,
yeah.
And having a couple of other experiences around the country.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating, of course, from my very little knowledge of this vast world of Aboriginal yeah. music. It's fascinating for me to discover.
Well, it reflects the landscape. That's what I find.
Oh, absolutely. It reflects the landscape and those 40,000 years of culture.
Well, quite. Now, you managed to get Farouz, the highly acclaimed and much beloved Lebanese singer, to play at the Holland Festival in 2011. That must have been a great achievement.
It was, and it took us over 6 years, almost 7 years. It was a bit crazy. Now, Farouz is this woman that you could compare to the Barbara Streisand of the Arab world.
Yes.
A living legend, and people would pay a fortune to just be allowed to touch her feet if you want.
Yeah.
Now, she normally doesn't do a lot of concerts in any given season, let alone in the Western world. She hardly travels to places like Paris or London or Amsterdam. She'd never been in Amsterdam, actually. And so for her to come to the Holland Festival was really something that took us more than 6 years to get her to do this. But then when it happened, it went off like... It was amazing.
Yes.
It sold out in 12 minutes. We had phone calls from as far as Qatar. Rich Princess asking if they could fly in with their private jets and where could they park their private jets.
Sure.
But also very local, very normal people, I would say,
yeah.
That wanted to see this because they'd heard that this was special in the Arab world, or people indeed from the Arab community that said they'd saved up all their lives to maybe see one concert of Farouz in their life. So it was an amazing experience.
And have you picked up the phone, asked her if she'd like to come do the, say, the Byron Bay Blues Festival or something like that?
Well, we tried to get her, to be totally honest, to sing at the Opera House, but we have to admit the lady is 73 now, and it's a long trip. That's one of the things where we can solve a lot of things through technology, but the actual distance and the actual jet lag are problems we can't yet solve.
Well, I look forward to what the festival brings us, and I congratulate you on getting it up and running, and wish you all the best with it, Leven. We've been joined by Leven Bertels, the Festival of Sydney director.